Today we feature live performances from Iron and Wine and conversation with the man who is the heart of the band, Sam Beam. The new album Ghost on Ghost is produced by Brian Deck, who first joined Sam creating his first studio album, 2004's Our Endless Numbered Days. Sam's very first released album was actually a bunch of demos that he sent to Jonathan Poneman, co-owner of Sub Pop Records, who released them as they were. Sam's work has changed a lot, moving to more elaborate arrangements on Shepherd's Dog through to his last disc, 2011's Kiss Each Other Clean. When I sat down to talk with Sam Beam, I asked him about the sparseness of those early recordings.
Yeah, I was just really just, it came down to I was just doing it as a hobby, right. You know, in my spare time. And using what I had available, which was a guitar and a banjo and a four track. And also, I don't know about you, but I don't really belt it out when I'm walking around in my house. So, you know, you're at my house and just sort of doing a normal volume. But I also thought, just based on the material that I was writing, it seemed appropriate too. So it all kind of dovetailed. All the reasons kind of came together.
Two things that have come out in talking about this record compared to Kiss Each Other Clean. One of them, you unfortunately use the idea of anxiety to attach yourself to this. And also, but you've said a number of times that the songs on Kiss Each Other Clean were angrier songs.
Yeah, well, I think on that one and the one before that, too, I think I was... You know, in high
Well, certainly
in
Shepherd's Dog.
Yeah, I think the stuff on Kiss Each Other Clean, not all the material, but the bulk of it was still residual anger. Right. I don't know. I mean, I think in hindsight, it's easy to say that I was taken aback. I was taken aback when Bush got reelected because I thought he would lose in 2004. So it wasn't really a political record. It wasn't like talking about politics. But it was more, I had this moment where I thought I understood the people around me or the way things were working. And then all of a sudden you realize you didn't. It was a grand shift in perspective. And so, and it was an unsettling one. And so a lot of the tunes ended up being, all the images were extremely relative. You could read them in two or three different ways. And I think Kiss Each Other Clean kind of took that even further and with a lot more synthetic sounds and just disquieting kind of feel to it. But at the same time, funky and danceable. It was
totally
a big mix.
This version of Conn and the Briars that we're going to start off with is actually a very nice solo version of it.
Well, so thank you. Thanks. They all start with the bare bones, and then you have options when you get to the studio.
This is the one with all its options remaining. This is Conn and the Briars.
The back alley's full of rain and everything shining as holy as she can be. The tricks and the timing, free as the morning birds. Fragile as China, she's stuck in the weakest heart of South Carolina, where all of the naked boys who lay down beside her sing her the saddest song, all caught in the briar. Fall so hard in a doorway, and all of the sinners here have crosses for Sunday. Kissed at the county fair, frisked in the city where proof is an answered prayer. But ain't it a pity that all of the naked boys who lay down beside her sing her the saddest song, all caught in the briar. found that cops and their tongue got deep. Here come the church mice trying too hard. She had a way to be kind with words. I had a knife in the back of my car. Nobody knows when the rain may come. Nobody wants to wake up and be cruel. She locked the door and the sun went down on South Carolina with nothing to lose. All of her naked boys. Not even I was.
Caught in the Briars, Sam Beam, Iron and Wine, performing live for us today on the cafe. And that is a really nice stripped down version of that, sounding really, really, really fabulous.
Thanks, David.
One of the things I love about this, and I love about Kiss Each Other Clean and what you've been working on, but this one in particular, is it kind of swings. I mean, it kind of has a great Motown has been mentioned. There's great horn parts. There's some things that even go a little bit outside, you know, in the horn arrangements that are really, really nice. So is there any assumption as to what you were listening to, or is this music you like? I don't understand. Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I of course, I love this types of music. I listen to all different types of music. I just love music. What the intention in going into it, I think, was more of we batted around the idea of McCartney's Ram record and some of the Nilsson records and Bacharach. So I had intentions of going in and making this sort of more quote-unquote sophisticated record. But then when the band got together and Rob and I started putting these things together, there are all these soul elements that we enjoyed, sort of this big mix. And we all, everybody that I seem to get connected with and play with, are almost musical, you know, no musicologists or something. You know, it's just what we pursue. Just when you get interested in a type of music, you chase it all the way down to the roots and see where it comes from. And so we're all interested in the music that we like and also how it connects to other types of music that you like, because none of these forms develop in a vacuum. You know, they all rely on one another. And so we ended up, at the end of the day, in hindsight, making a soul record and with a lot of other, you know, at the same time being another genre potpourri Iron and Wine record. But I think this one is a bit more of a laid-back R&B kind of feel to it, which, you know, I love that music. I grew up on Motown music, among other things. But that was some of my earliest musical memories, because that was my parents' music when they were in college. So that's what they listened to even when I was a kid.
Did they listen to a lot of jazz, or is that more?
No, that was not in my. That was me searching out something besides, you know, four chords and the truth.
Right, right. Now, I want to talk a little bit about geography on this record, because there's, you know, South Carolina gets mentioned.
yeah, it's kind of like a road trip, isn't it?
Yeah, right. And then in the Desert Babbler, it's that, I'm sorry.
Those the boys from Barstow.
The boys from Barstow, yeah. Right. You got the Central Valley in California and all this.
Yeah.
Are those places important to the writing of the song, or are they just great image-wise?
Sometimes, yeah. You know, they all come about differently. It was strange because I don't really sit down and write records from start to finish. You know, I'm kind of just working all the time, and some of these are old songs, some of these are newer songs. But when it comes time to put a record together, I try to see what could connect the songs, you know, that were developed so separately. What do they have in common? What do some of them have in common that could be included on a collection of songs? And so this one, I noticed I had a bunch of songs with a couple, and there were all these place names and things like that. And so it was fun to throw them together and see. It sort of felt like the continuing adventures of these people.
Right, but we shouldn't. I mean, it's not a novel. We shouldn't. We shouldn't.
It's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like the Sergeant Pepper's idea. You know, they go together because they say they go together. And when you say they go together, you start to look for connections. You know what I mean? When they don't really. If you look too close, it all falls apart.
That makes sense.
Where, for instance, the Barstow thing. I think I like the consonant explosion of Barstow. You know, it's just the sound of the word. And then you think of that about the place, and you start. You know, sometimes it's just a launching pad for your mind to wander.
Yeah, Barstow and Babbler.
I mean, yeah, they go together, right?
A little percussive thing.
Looking for bees.
Well, let's listen to this song because it's a good one. This is the Desert Babbler. That's one you'll find on Ghost on Ghost, but not that live version. That is Sam Beam, Iron and Wine. It's a great band playing live. That is the Desert Babbler. And right before we played that, Sam, you brought up something I'm always curious about artists lyrically, whether the sound of words together is an important element of writing lyrics to you.
Oh, definitely. I mean, that goes with poetry or whatever, but definitely songs as well. You know, they have a rhythm, but there's also a syncopation to the way your words fall out your mouth and interact with the instruments. I mean, Obla Di Obla Da is a great song, but it doesn't mean anything. It's just the sound. That's a perfect example, and there are lots of songs like that. They're just nonsense, but, you know, they get lodged in our hearts because it works musically.
Well, you had fun on Grace for Saints and Ramblers doing kind of a list song.
Yeah, yeah, that is fun. Well, I got lucky enough. You know, sometimes you're blessed with a generous line that suggests all kinds of directions to go with the song. You know, I mean, you have to. I keep getting told my grammar is terrible. To say you and I, but it just sounded better. It's one of those things, like you were talking about before. You just do what sounds good, no matter whether it is proper English. that one was a fun one. Like I said, sometimes you get lucky, and that one, just the line, it all came down to you and I. Or you and me, or however you want to say it.
Yeah, right. We'll forgive you.
Thanks. It's just, you can go anywhere with them. You know, what were we wearing? What were we doing? You know, where were we? You know, all these things. And so that was a fun one to, it was a real playful thing.
I wanted to ask about the playfulness, because the way it pours over you as a listener, you think, oh, well, he was freestyling. He just
I wish I could do that.
but it took a while to get.
Oh, yeah. I developed that one for several years. It started out as a more of a folky kind of slow thing, but it started with probably 5 or 6 different verses sections, you know, these long. But, you know, that's not uncommon. You end up writing about 10 songs to get one out of it, you know. Lots of throwaway verses.
This is Grace for Saints and Ramblers.
Yeah.
a live version of Grace for Saints and Ramblers, one from Ghost on Ghost, the new Iron and Wine album. And Sam Beam is here talking a bit about all kinds of things, the creative process, whatever.
Great to be here, David. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you. I want to talk about your household. Because it's you and five females.
I have five daughters and then my wife.
Okay, six.
But I have a boy cat.
Oh, okay. So you bond with it. That's your male bonding. But it's sort of a semi-serious question about female energy in the house. And is that something you believe affects you, or
if I didn't, I would be.
Yeah, we would carefully.
Blind and deaf and dumb. It's definitely an ever-present energy in the house. But all my kids are a blessing. So, I think just being a father in general has affected a lot. Not just songwriting. It changes your whole life, changes your perspective on things, and you learn more about yourself than you ever really wanted to know.
Amen to that. Do they let you know about songs? Do they say that's a good one, that's not?
They would. I don't really wave the flag. They like the Hot 100. Their older sister is 15, and she's way into Beyonce and everything. Which I love it too. But I don't really wave the flag. And I think because it's always just been around, they just like, it's dad's music, dad's doing his thing.
Right.
But sometimes I'll hear them singing it or something.
Or do they come up to you with things that you go, whoa, I hadn't heard that?
They sing all kinds of stuff. And sometimes they'll comment on my songs or like say something that I had never thought about. How the kid brain works. But I also have a daughter, one of my middle daughters. She just sings effortlessly. She sings all the time. And I heard her, and freestyle. She just freestyles lyrics too. I heard her in the back seat the other day. Oh, what was the line? She said, there's a bridge I walk on with God, and sometimes it melts. That was her lyric. And I was like about to crash, reaching for a pen to write it down. But it's just stuff, the kids do effortlessly, that you wish as an adult you could tap into at will. But
it's kind of like tapping into dreams as well, right?
It is.
Because
I've definitely found that writing in the morning has definitely been, not always more productive, but definitely more surprising and interesting. Because you're so close to the subconscious and not quite awake yet. It's just always, I find I get my best material in the morning, for sure.
Wanted to play one more, which is it's a great song called Low Light. Buddy of Mine. This is a live version from Sam Beam and this great band, a song from Ghost on Ghost.
He's in a white car waiting for the light to change. He's a buddy of mine. Touch his toes, he knows you never look till the lights are low. I love you and you love me, so we never demand and we never agree. Thank you.
Low Light buddy of mine, finishing up our set today of music from Iron and Wine. Thanks so much for this this new set of tunes. It just sounds fabulous. And
thank you, Dave. It's been a real pleasure to be here. Thanks again.
Sam Beam, Iron and Wine, and we shall return in a moment here on the World Cafe.